Thank you, children, and thank you, choir. So good to be here. Brothers and sisters, where God promises us grace and peace. From our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. A word from our sermon text, Jeremiah 17. I'll read verse 7. Blessed, and this is my translation. Stick right to the Hebrew. Blessed is the strong man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. This is the word of God. Dear friends, are you this tree of trust? You know, the one that Jeremiah just told us about, a tree planted by streams of water, sending out that root, flourishing with leaves and luxuriant in fruit. Is that you? We could talk about resilience in the world, but in order to do this, I really need you to try something for me. All your cares, all your worries, all the little things out there, I want you to dump them right now. I want you to drop it. I want you to push it away. And I want you not to think about that. But instead, think about being resilient in a world where you can't depend on pretty much anything. Can you be this tree of trust? Can you grow this tall and this strong and plant yourself firmly on what truly matters, as the children sang to us this morning? Speaking of resilience, there was a Holocaust survivor who eventually wrote a book in the last decade, probably more than one, but one particular book that was partly a look back at the death camps and who survived. Would you believe that his thought was not that it was those who were the outwardly most strong, or the outwardly fittest, or the outwardly best fed, the people who seemed to have it all together up until the death camps. And it wasn't even the people who still had the most food or had the most resources during that tormented time of horrors. His conclusion was that the people who were most resilient and who did the best through all of those horrors were those who had a spiritual life. And I think that says a lot to you and to me about being resilient. That's what I would like to be. Very nearly like a tree. Something growing and living, yes, but growing firmly and soaring strong and high, able to weather whatever surrounds us. I want to drink deeply from what matters most and have that inside of me, so that what is born of my branches and leaves is actually something that truly matters and lasts. Is that possible? Do you seek resilience? And do you wish to have the trust that Jeremiah describes for us? Are you this tree of trust? Now, Jeremiah really does give us something to aspire to, because for all intents and purposes, as Jeremiah started out his ministry, things were looking good. The world in the southern kingdom was looking up, and Judah was in the midst of a revival. First and foremost, King Josiah, this young king, was rolling out all kinds of religious reforms, chasing out all the mediums and spiritists and false prophets, bringing out the old law, the old covenant, the word of the Lord, reread it to all the people, rededicated the people, and started celebrating the Passover again after a time of a very long time of wickedness with his father and for the majority of his grandfather's reign as well. This was the last good king, and a lot of good things were happening. But that all hit an abrupt, lamentable end. You might even write a book called Lamentations about it, which seems to be what our book Lamentations is all about. King Josiah died in battle. For all of his spiritual strength and valor, he probably picked the wrong political side and ended up dying in war with Egypt. And then the Babylonians came in, swept through the southern kingdom. The northern tribes had long been gone, carried off and destroyed, scattered by Assyria. Now Babylon was having their turn, and they won. They beat up Judah and destroyed Jerusalem, and even the temple burned. Carried off some of the best and most intelligent individuals like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Ezekiel was carried off, and it was just Jeremiah and a handful of people throughout his ministry, just dwindling away, withering away. Outwardly speaking, do you know who looked cursed? Sure looked like Jeremiah, and his whole ministry was cursed. And he wrestled with that. He struggled with that. He's known as the weeping prophet, as he lamented and made his case towards God. But he also knew that outward curses don't necessarily describe us on the inside. And he says, this is the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. And as he rolls out his first a curse and then a blessing, and we sang it opposite in Psalm 1 with a lot of the same thoughts. Psalm 1 starts with the blessing and then talks about the curse. But a lot of the concepts are the same thing. So the service is pretty well put together, as even Jesus issues blessings and invitations as well as curses and final answers for certain things. Jeremiah seems to say that though outwardly you may be cursed, inwardly you're flourishing and blessed. And though outwardly some people may look incredibly blessed and have it all together, inwardly they may be on the path of destruction and curse. And these aren't just words, they're not just descriptions. This is God speaking power into words as he has from the very beginning, making things happen, blessings and curses. Maybe we haven't seen the destruction of everything around us as Jeremiah did. But I think we've had our share of catastrophe, haven't we? If not personally, individually, on a certain level with death and sickness. Maybe it's disease, the world around. Just think of our news cycle. Just think of our propensity to blame, shame, and guilt trip those around us for different choices than we would make. Just think of the accelerated mental health crisis. How can we possibly be okay if outwardly this is how things look? What a curse the world brings outwardly. And outwardly, you might say, well, in order to be strong, maybe I'd hang my heart, get my heart right by putting trust in humanity. Maybe if I can believe in humanity, something will help. Trust in man. And sometimes the flesh of man is our strength. That's how this phrasing reads. But then you see how far man goes and how ancient that idea is. The old philosopher said man is the measure of all things. This was suggested already in the time of Socrates, and see how things play out. It only goes as far as man's wisdom. It only goes far as the health of the human heart and what happens when all of our hearts are sick. Well, then what? This is what Jeremiah calls the bush in the desert. It can't handle the sordid reality of life. It's out there in the wasteland, and it doesn't even understand how bad it is, because under the heat and sun of the wasteland, even when a good thing comes along, it doesn't recognize that. And maybe that's true about our dull hearts today. Maybe we don't even recognize what God has gone through to give us these words. Maybe we don't treasure and prize the gospel like we really ought to. because this is a good thing. Jeremiah went through a lot to give us these words. His sermons, you realize, his scroll was cut up and burned on more than one occasion. It took 3 tries to preserve this book, and though it's long, the longest book in the Bible, not by chapter, doesn't go as far as Isaiah's 66 chapters, but by words, Jeremiah's 52 chapters, longest book in the Bible, it's not always easy to just open up and say, okay, this is God talking to me, because where do I start? But chapter 17 isn't such a bad place at all, because God wants you to hear this today. God wants you to know what it is to be cursed, so that you can have inward trust and inward strength, so that you're not like the bush in the desert. And because the curse here isn't just, oh, the heat of life and this world around us, not just the consequences of trusting in man, but eternal consequences. The consequences of an eternal abandonment and darkness, an eternal departing and forsakenness from God in hell. That's how bad it gets if you put your trust in men. And that may seem like someone else, but just think, what could tear me away from God's promises? What could distract me more? What could move me? What would unsettle my focus on God's word and sacraments? A bad day at work or school? A diagnosis? A broken bone? A broken heart? A death? A birth? A TV show? A pastime? A holiday? The big game? Am I at risk in any way in depending on the strength of humanity and trusting in man over against God? Because if we turn to these things first, will we demonstrate that we truly are cursed? And we shouldn't be surprised, because that's the natural condition of our sinful hearts. That's what original sin does to us. We're no strangers in our hearts to false gods and idols. We were once trapped in them. And the very next verse in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, says, the heart is deceitful. Who can cure it? We were born in darkness with hearts of sin, and each of us deserves the curse. We might ask, why there needs to be any curse at all? How can Jesus say these things? I thought he was always just super nice and my buddy. But as it turns out, what sinners need to hear sometimes isn't what we want to hear. And what we ought to hear is the very thing that helps us, even though it hurts. To know that outward curses could very well mean inner blessings. Are you this tree yet? Are you planted by streams of water yet? Or is there room to grow and room to exchange a life of sin for a life of virtue and blessing that's promised by none other than God? Jeremiah should have been shaken and stirred up and mixed and an emotional wreck. And yet he carried out his doomed ministry faithfully. He continued to go back. This is what the Lord says. He continued to wrestle with God and then tell the people, though his life and limb were at risk, they cornered him, they almost killed him, they put him in the stocks, they dumped him in a pit, they cut up his scroll and burned it. It was a miserable ministry. Yet Jeremiah knew what it was to trust and knew what it was right, knew what it was to have a heart that was right. And the blessing here is just beautiful. It says, blessed is anyone who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Like I said, literally the words say, blessed is the strong man. It's the same root as Gabriel. Blessed is Gever, the strong man who trusts in the Lord. And then it says, whose trust is the Lord. And I really think something was lost in translation there, because it's so cool that God not only says whose trust is in the Lord, but also whose trust is the Lord. If you have this wavering heart and you involve yourself in God's promises, and then day after day, time after time, you get frustrated because, man, I just didn't trust in God, and how come this keeps happening? The problem, the fact of the matter may be that you weren't so much putting your trust in God, but in your strength to trust. Don't trust in your trust. It's not so much about how strong or how weak your faith is. It's that on which your faith depends. And that is the Lord. That is Jesus Christ and His gospel that frees us. That is a Savior who was placed on the cross and suffered the curse that you and I deserve. Because that's the only person whose heart was settled and was right and who did take on the curse for us. So that you don't have to. So that when all around things seem like curse, and even inside when I'm not so sure whether my heart is right with God, I can settle that heart on the Lord. And I can firmly plant my heart on what He has done for me. And so that you can know the incredible blessings that come from standing firm in the Lord, in His gospel, in His word and sacraments. The picture gets even more vibrant from here. We're told He will be like a tree planted by water. It sends its roots out to stream. I'm told the willow tree is like this. Its roots will go for feet and yards and find its way to water. You can just envision this beautiful, tranquil picture with the still waters and calm breeze and this ever-growing tree that stands firm, though the world around it might be rocky and full of these thorn bushes that are doomed. A tree that knows a good thing when it comes. That's you. Not because of you, because of where you settle your heart, and that's on God. We talk about leafy, talk about producing, talk about branches that bend with fruit, and talk about resilience. Because pretty soon you're going to have to pick back up those things that you were thinking about before. Lord willing, not with so much worry or anxiety or care, but with this kind of trust, with a faith that is essentially trust, a faith that knows your Savior, who was placed on the cross as your substitute, who lives again so that you might have life and have it to the full. A tree that grows high into the sky, knowing that not only has God been put in place for you, but also places a right heart in you. Weather the rough times, weather the good times, and trust in the Lord who has granted you the resilience to stand firm. And so you are this tree. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand.